Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Jam-packed we are as we are T-minus one day and counting to the NBA draft. Who knows what that might mean, not just for the draftees, but some of the NBA's biggest stars. Plus, there's a ton of football news, long home runs, tattoos, and a whole lot more. Let's roll this thing right now.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Well, the only place to start is with all the basketball news, and there's a ton of it out there right now. And my buddy Nick Friedell, good enough to hang out after we wrap up Get Up this morning and help us sort through some of what is about to happen in the NBA. Again, there's what we know, which is that the NBA draft will take place tomorrow night, and that Victor Wembanyama, the new phenom from France, will be the first pick. Beyond that, there's a lot of things we don't know, which is, are the teams that are picking at 2 and 3 going to make deals? And if they do, slash if they don't, how will that impact some of the NBA's biggest stars, including but not limited to Zion Williamson and Damian Lillard? Friedell, thanks for doing this. How you been, my man?
Always good to be with you, my man. And I am looking forward to the draft more than ever, not so much because of who's selected, because of the dominoes that might fall after they make the selection.
All right, so let's dive right to the most important piece of it first, and that would be the Damian Lillard of it all. So everything that we are hearing is that Portland at 3 is planning on making their pick. See, things sometimes get complicated. Like, there's the law of unintended consequences. The Trailblazers weren't supposed to pick that high. That wasn't what was supposed to happen. And so they were going to go out, spend this offseason trying to get a piece or two to put around Damian Lillard. And then all of a sudden, this enormous asset just fell into their lap. They literally won the lottery, if you will. Not all the winners wind up picking number one. And so now they have this very valuable asset in a draft that is really three players deep, right? I mean, these three guys are all like number one caliber players. And now they really find themselves at a crossroads. Do you make the pick, start a complete youth movement, just sort of tear it down and build it up from scratch? And that would include trading Damian Lillard. Or do you trade the pick and try and put a player around Lillard that you could win with? It's a fascinating spot to be in.
Greeny, if I'm Portland, I'm making the pick and I'm moving Lillard and I'm saying thank you for everything. Because the reality is, if you trade that pick, whether it's for Zion Williamson or some other package that we haven't figured out up to this point yet, the Trailblazers aren't good enough. They are not good enough. Dame Lillard is going to be 33. He's really good. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But they don't have enough pieces around him to be able to win right away. So in the honest conversations, both leading up to the draft and after the draft, after they make this pick, if we think that's what's going to happen, if I'm the Blazers and Lillard says, I want to win right now, now's his time to say it. And now's the time for Portland to hit the button on a rebuild that's been needed, frankly, for the last couple of years.
Right. And to be clear, I think there is a feeling that Lillard doesn't want to become the guy who deserted his franchise. He doesn't want to be hated where he has spent all these years. But I think he's in a different position. You know what this reminds me of a little? Do you remember how gracefully Kevin Garnett left Minnesota? That feels more like this. This isn't Dwight Howard forcing his way out of Orlando or Carmelo forcing his way out of Denver or LeBron leaving Cleveland the first time or any of those things where all of a sudden the boos would cascade down. I think for all that he's done for them, for as loyal as he's been, for as long as he stuck it out, if they wind up drafting a young player third and rebuilding the team, not one reasonable fan when Damian Lillard came back as a member of the Miami Heat or the Sixers or wherever else that he is, wouldn't stand give up a standing ovation upon his return.
On top of the fact that I think the league, Greeny, would sit there and say, okay, Dame, you've earned the right to do exactly what you need to do. There's no baggage that would come with this exit. Mm-hmm. There are no people in the NBA that would sit there and go, oh, yeah, Dame always said he wanted to stay, but they're going to rebuild again, and he just stuck it out. I think a lot of people would applaud in the NBA on top of the fact that your point is very well taken. When Garnett finally left, he left saying, I'm always going to be soda. I can remember him saying it over and over, how much Minnesota meant to him. Damian Lillard is going to get a statue outside the Moda Center in Portland. He is beloved there, but now is his time to gracefully exit, because even if they were to make a move, they're still not in the top tier of the West.
So whether I agree or disagree with that, let's live in a world for a moment here where they make the pick. So they take Scoot Henderson at number three, and now they're going to trade Damian Lillard. Alan Hahn and I, in our pre-show meeting today, cooked up a trade that we love, and I think it serves a lot of purposes. The trade is the Sixers let James Harden go, which I think is bordering on addition by subtraction. I really do. And then they trade Tyrese Maxey and an expiring contract to Portland for Damian Lillard. Maxey is a good young player. I think a lot of teams would love to have. An expiring contract is always something that every team wants, so that gives them further flexibility into the future. Portland's rebuild is very much happening, and you start by building around two good young players in Scoot Henderson and Tyrese Maxey, so that satisfies them. But then certainly of greater interest, Philly puts Embiid and Lillard out there. I think that gives them a much better chance of winning. And frankly, you know as I do, that the whispers are already starting to come out that if things don't go well this year, it would be Embiid's last year in Philadelphia, that he might be the next superstar to start talking about wanting to get out. I'm not suggesting that has happened. I'm suggesting, you know, the word on the NBA streets is that that could be right around the corner. So I think this would serve a lot of purposes for both teams.
It would, but here's the key in all of this. Where does Lillard really want to go?
Right.
And if you're Dame Lillard and you've given everything you have professionally to this organization, then you go to Portland and say, hey, guys, this is exactly where I want to be, whether it's Philly, whether it's Miami, as he told Brian Koester. We're going to find out, but that's the part of this where I think is crucial. How loyal is that team going to be to him after all the loyalty that he's shown to them over time? To me, Greeny, Philly would fit, and they could be very good. I still think they're a piece away. The best fit for Dame Lillard right now is to find a way to get him to Miami. If you put him with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo under Eric Spoelstra, he is the missing piece for a group that was a few wins away from a title this year. Plus, he gets to live in Miami instead of Philly.
Yeah, which everybody likes. And I get that part of it. But here's what I will say. Loyalty only goes so far, which is to say, if I'm Portland and Dame says I want to be traded, I'm 100% willing to find a trade for you. You've earned that. We love you. We'll build your statue, everything else. But I'm not taking a much lesser deal than I might otherwise get. So if the Sixers are offering Tyrese Maxey, Miami doesn't have anybody. Is Tyler Hero, in your opinion, even on Tyrese Maxey's level? Like, I don't consider them to be similar talents. You might tell me that I'm wrong.
I take Maxey over Hero.
I think everyone would, right?
Simply.
I mean, that's not knocking Tyler Hero.
No.
He's a good player. I don't think the Heat have anything to give them. Now, I don't know. They have a bunch of draft picks.
They have a couple picks. It would take, though, them making some corresponding moves. What they have right now is not enough.
Right.
It's not Hero and a couple first-rounders in a few years.
Right.
They would need to move some other pieces to make it more palatable for Portland to say, okay, we can make this work. But again, Greeny, this is where Lillard, if he really wants to drop the hammer and say, I want to be in Miami, can play that hand, because this is where you have built up all the goodwill that you can push in. It just depends on how badly he wants to potentially get out of there.
Greeny with you here. Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Nick Friedel, good enough to hang out with me here for a few more minutes on radio after we wrapped up the TV show this morning. The other player who I think is very much in play here is Zion. And I said yesterday, I told the old, the legendary Lombardi story, which is to say that Lombardi, the legend goes that Lombardi's first day as coach of the Green Bay Packers, he walked into the locker room and he said, "Gentlemen, everyone in this room who wants to win the championship, stand up." And of course, everybody stands up. And then he said, "Now, everyone who's willing to sacrifice everything that will be necessary to win that championship, remain standing." And that's the problem with Zion. It's all well and good to want to win. Of course he wants to win. Hey, Zion, would you rather win or lose? Everyone would rather win. But he has not given anyone any reason to believe he's willing to sacrifice what it is going to take, particularly from him, someone who was built the way he is built, in order to make himself into the player he clearly could be. And the motivation of finally getting the money doesn't exist anymore because he already got the money. So do you believe that Zion winds up getting moved anywhere? And how does the league generally view him at this point?
I don't believe that there is going to be a package that is enough for New Orleans to move off of him right now. The second part of the question, though, Greeny, is really crucial. And I think the NBA sees the talent. It's hard not to miss when he's out there on the floor. But if you can't get motivated after you get $200 million guaranteed, what's going to change? And that's why if I'm running any other NBA team, I'm not rolling the dice on Zion, because we have not seen enough of a track record to make anybody believe that he can stay on the floor. And if he does get injured, he can then keep the weight off. It's the same pattern over and over and over again. I don't trust him. I think the league has started to shift in a major way. But you and I both know the egos in play in the NBA. There's always going to be a general manager or a star player or an owner who says, "Hey, I can make it work with him here. If he comes in our building, we can be different." What I would tell anybody is good luck.
Look, the Knicks fans that I know are all dying for the Knicks to get Zion, and they think that coming to the New York, coming to the bright lights and all that would do it. I would caution against that. I am 100% on your side. I wouldn't trade for him. To me, right now, he is more of a problem than he is an asset, as brilliantly talented as he is, and I would let him be someone else's problem. The only hesitation I have in that position is the following. His birthday is July 6th, so it's just a few weeks away. Mm-hmm. On July 6th, he will be 23 years old. He's so young. I mean, there is still a chance. Like, people who, I don't know, I remember me when I was 22. I didn't know you when you were 22. But, I mean, you mature a lot after that age, especially when you have the life experience that he has had as early as he had. It is not inconceivable to me that as he grows and matures as a person, that he starts to see the light. And the talent is so overwhelming and extraordinary that maybe, just maybe, that would be the only thing that gives me pause.
When the injuries start to pile up, though, Greeny, and the weight continues to pile on, that's when I think there are much larger red flags in play.
Yeah.
Is it possible that he's still so young that he could learn better habits? I understand that train of thought completely. You and I also know Tom Thibodeau, though.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the Knicks got him, and then Zion came to camp overweight, or he was in great shape, and then he got hurt, and a few weeks went by, and you went, "What is going on?" Tibbs would lose his mind.
Well, that completely. Could be so. That could make it either a terrible marriage or exactly what Zion needs. He might just need someone who's not going to put up with it.
Then he needs to go to Miami. Then Miami needs to be the team that finds their way into the Zion sweepstakes. But if you know Pat Riley, you know that he believes he can get guys in shape. But do you trust a guy who has shown you time and again that he's going to follow through on the same things? I don't. I think there are a lot of teams that feel the same way, but there's always going to be one that believes they can turn him. And maybe that's the one that New Orleans is waiting for.
Yeah, it would scare me to death, too. Fidel, it's a great day today. Thank you. My friend, I appreciate you hanging out extra time. Coming up next, I took a controversial position yesterday. I am willing to double down on it next. Don't miss it. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. I was just waiting to see if that was going to be the Ice Ice Baby version of this song. Or what are we listening to right now, Cam? Is that that's not the Queen and David Bowie version of Under Pressure?
I'm not sure.
It?
Ben is working the tunes today. Which version do we have, Ben?
Is that Ice Ice Baby? Is that Vanilla Ice?
That is, in fact, Vanilla Ice.
Is it? Ah. Okay, let's do this thing. I don't think I can do it along with that because there's going to be a delay on this side as I'm in New York and the music is coming from Bristol.
Isn't there a video of you rapping that
I
song?
I absolutely did this song. All right, Stop. Collaborate and listen. Greeny's back with a brand new invention. Something gets a hold of me tightly. Float like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow to the extreme. Rock a mic like a vandal. Turn off the... light up the stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance like a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly when I something a dope melody.
Play a dope
forgotten
melody.
It. Anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit the bullseye. The kid don't play if they got a problem. Yo, I'll solve it. Whatever the rest of it is. It was a long time ago that I did this. Well, my DJ revolves it. Diana Rossini, good enough to stick around after we did Get Up this morning. What do you think of that? I mean, that's pretty awful, right? The fact that I know all the... I have a couple of... So Diana and I have, like, two different relationships. We have the on-air relationship where, like, I'm hosting the show and she's my outstanding football reporter. I'm asking all that. And then the second that ends, we just have entirely other conversations. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers kind of changed that because now I ask you about football off the air as well as on the air. But you know what my other useless talent is?
What is that?
If you name practically any sitcom from the 70s or early 80s, I can give you the theme song. It is from a lifetime wasted as a child watching television while everyone else, including you, was playing sports. You were like a big D1 soccer player, mm-hmm. all the rest of that. Mm-hmm. I was sitting home watching Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, Taxi, and Heart to Heart on Wednesday nights. I remember the theme songs to all these shows. And with that wow. knowledge, I can do absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Come and knock on my door.
That's a great one.
I've been waiting for you.
That's a well-known one. Not everyone knows, like, for example, Facts of Life. Not everyone knows that.
The facts alive.
But do you know the lyrics?
I think I'm aging myself here with knowing this. But look, we grew up with that. There's always playing in the background. Now, look, I woke
facts
up today.
Facts of Life is you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. the facts of life. It's the time you got to go and show you're growing now you know about the facts of life. Sorry.
If this is part of your recruitment for DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cooks, I can promise you this ain't going to work, because that rapping of you, of the Vanilla Ice impression, which, look, I give you tons of credit. Your ability to remember information has always been fantastic in the sports world, but I didn't know that extends out to the music world. So
no,
again,
it doesn't.
You
now,
continue to impress me.
I'm disappointed that I didn't do that better. Okay, let me get to yesterday. I delivered something of a controversial take on this program. And Diana, I'm going to get your take on it right now. Hembo and I had an appearance last night with the book, and I had a lot of people bringing this up to me when we were there. And so I'm going to bring it up to you. Here's my position.
Okay.
If you and I have known each other since we were 8 years old, that's one thing.
Okay.
But if you and I meet as adults, I should not know your birthday and you should not know mine. I'm not sure when it is that we decided that we are going to continue making a big deal about people's birthday, particularly on Instagram, where we're going to, everyone is with the, oh, my close special friend, and I hope you have the most wonderful day. And then I'm going to take all of the Instagram posts that have been sent in my direction, and I'm going to repost them just to show everyone how many friends I have and that it's my birthday. Here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Once you get to be more than 12, I don't know why anyone is making a big deal of anyone's birthday. Yesterday was Bubba's birthday, and Cam is constantly in my ear. Greeny, we need to mention Bubba's birthday. Why the hell do we need to mention Bubba's birthday? What person on earth cares that it was Bubba's birthday?
August 6th is your birthday, and
that's
I don't
correct.
Forget it.
Now, you only know that because your son, my namesake, little Mikey, was born the following day.
He was, and I do recall that that is your birthday. That's how I remember it. Also, Pete McConville's birthday as well. He's the executive producer of your morning show. But I see your point about how annoying that could be, but I look at it as, you know, people have so many different challenges in their life. If for one day they can feel special and get all the attention that it seems that everyone in 2023 is seeking, you kind of have to just allow it. I mean, for me, I appreciate whenever someone remembers my birthday or posts something to just not just put happy birthday. There's nothing worse than the HBD text. Like, not only did you just type out HBD, like, I'm not even worth you writing happy birthday, Diana.
Right.
You know, you have to just...
What if I send just a GIF? What if I just send like a GIF?
You would be my best friend.
My standard GIF is there's a mariachi band that sings happy birthday, and I send that one. And that's what I do because I feel like it's
really
funny.
You don't really do
that. I do.
You send mariachi bands to people that you love and your friends to just say happy birthday?
Yeah.
That is fabulous.
Just to get it over with. Because
that beats
why do I care that you're an adult crying out loud?
It beats the Lululemon gift card I get every year from Kevin. So I would...
Gift I'm in on. If you want to commemorate my birthday, give me a valuable gift. I would like that. Buy me something I want. But posting, hope you have a special day, I feel like it grates on me.
There are so many other things right now going on, especially on social media, that irritate me way more than the birthday shout outs. I mean, nobody has boundaries at all. The oversharing of every moment in your life to a point where I know so much about people that I don't know that it bothers me that I know so much about the details of their lives. I know what your living room looks like. Do you know that?
Well,
I've never been to your home.
That's right.
You've never had me over. I would like that for my birthday this year.
That's true.
I've never been to your home.
Can I have a tour of our house?
You could open the door to your house. I could probably find my way around. Also, note, you are very clean.
Yeah.
You drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
Which is it shows in your wonderful skin.
Yeah.
You're not a big junk food eater. I never see any junk food out when you're watching games.
I don't eat almost anything.
But I just think I think the oversharing, like when I became a mother, something my good girlfriend Cassie Hubbarth gave me great advice. She said, Di, you love your kids. We don't love your kids.
Right.
Make an account just for Mikey and eventually Joey. And when you have that urge to share it on that Instagram account that's set to private, right? It's like my sister, a couple of cousins, my aunts, uncles, they all follow it. But the football fan base does not care about Mikey and Joey, right? They don't want to see that. They want to see Aaron Rodgers at training camp.
Right.
I think.
Me too.
Because this is a whole nother conversation. What does work on social media, right? I mean, I've experimented with everything. I've tried pretty beautiful shots of the Hudson River. That does not work. No one wants to see that.
Right.
I've tried just pictures on my face. I haven't figured it out. If you know, let me know if you have figured out what people are interested in. I can just tell you, we're about to enter a time of year. It's the summer where it's all about showing your vacation, right? You're about to take a nice long trip yourself.
Right.
I'm sure we're going to see tons of what you're about to experience.
Okay.
I like that.
That's fair. But you have the option of following that or not. I'm talking about birthdays, and this goes even beyond social media.
You are so anti-birthday.
Let me give you another one. Here's another abomination that has started somewhere along the tomorrow. When did we start with these gender reveals? Like, did I miss a meeting? Was I not informed of this? You know when I found out what gender my kids were? When the doctor told me it's a boy or it's a girl. Now, you want to find out at the ultrasound? Knock yourself out. I'm 100% comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. But the idea that I'm going to stand there and I'm going to have a little golf ball on a tee and I'm going to hit it and it's either going to explode into blue or pink and then I'm going to post that for the entire world to see, it is an abomination.
Because you don't care. Back to Cassie Hubbard's wonderful advice. People don't care about what you're having at the end of the day. So I'm with you. I did not do the gender reveal.
Right.
In fact, I never even found out what I was having. We actually did the old school way
of
a surprise. The doctor said, hey, it's a boy.
Right.
Yay. We have to name it Michael after Michael Greenberg. It worked perfectly in the delivery room.
Right.
No fight was put up there. But I do think we've gone overboard. And look, some of these gender reveals have become dangerous. People are getting hurt. Now, I do like the ones where the siblings doing the reveal and let's go of the balloon with the answer in it. Everyone's scrambling around. Like, whoa, what is it then? What's the baby? If the answer's in the balloon, how could we ever find
That's
out?
That's fake anyway. That's fake.
Here's what I appreciate. Hold on.
Can I ask you a question? I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
If the parents don't know, who's in charge of this? Like, who is it that finds out what they're having and then sets it up?
Great question. So the doctor will put the gender in an envelope, write it on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope. It'll be sealed. You then take that envelope and you hand it to a friend and, you know, an aunt, a mother, whoever it is. And it's their responsibility to then go to the bakery and make sure that the frosting's blue when they cut it and, you know, it's blue inside to know it's a boy. So it's really...
So this is a multi-layered process right now. And somewhere along the line, it's just a scam, right?
No, I feel like I'm being scammed. And it's a one-upper, right? It's what can I do to be funnier and better than the next? And look, isn't that social media, right? And I think this is the thing that is so challenging for anyone who's on it, is we're all addicted to it.
Right.
We scroll for hours and hours and are consumed by other people's lives. But in the end, we all feel disgusting afterwards. That's how I feel about it. I never go, I'm so glad I just spent an hour laying next to Kev before I go to bed, checking out the lives of God knows who I'm watching, you know, because those people are not important to me, but it entertains me. Turn it off, and then I'm like, ew, I didn't want to see that. I wish I read a book. That's what I wish I did, Mike.
That is my advice. Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive protects your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, and RV, and could save you money. Visit progressive.com. Let me throw an entirely different... Well, let me actually talk some sports with you while I have you. How long do I have you for? Where do you need to be?
I don't have television until noon. So.
Okay, perfect. So we got some time here. So I'll start it now, and then we'll carry it over a little bit. I tried to make a case today that Dalvin Cook and maybe DeAndre Hopkins should come to the Jets. Now I'm gonna lay my case out. Let's start with the Dalvin Cook of it all. The Jets, I think, are in a position right now with Breece Hall coming off an injury and Aaron Rodgers being who he is, that we are finally a destination team. Like, we are finally the place people want to go. After all these years of people wanting to go play with everyone else's quarterback, we finally have that guy. I don't know how long we're going to have him. Let's take advantage of this while we can. Dalvin Cook needs a team. Everybody needs Dalvin Cook. The idea that there's any team in the league that doesn't need Dalvin Cook is just ludicrous. Running backs were born to get hurt. It is the reason that none of them get paid any money, because you are almost assured that your running back is going to get hurt. So have two excellent ones. Dalvin Cook is a great player. He's a great weapon out of the backfield. I've never heard anyone say he's anything other than a good teammate and a good guy. I believe strongly the Jets should get Dalvin Cook, and I believe he should want to come.
I think the Jets have the same sentiment, and they're going to look into this. Does that mean they're going to get the deal done right now? No. But there's another side to this as well, which is Dalvin Cook's, right? He left Minnesota because of money. right? So he's going to go somewhere where he wants to be valued. Mm-hmm. We know right now the running back market is around that $10 million. That's what the tag is. That's what Saquon Barkley would be playing on, the $10.1 million tag. Now, I was told that Cook may be pretty patient with this, right? Wait for that July 17th date to come, because that's going to be the deadline for teams to get those long-term extensions done. And basically use that as a bar for where his contract could start. So he may just wait, check this out a little bit, and then make that decision. I think the Jets are going to poke around on this. I think they're going to try to see if they can come up with a way to make this work. And it does make sense, because we know, as you pointed out, how injury becomes an issue for running backs. But let's just say that doesn't happen. Let's just say Dalvin Cook doesn't join the New York Jets. I wouldn't be panicked. I don't think that their run game is in trouble. In fact, I've heard nothing but optimistic attitude and even confidence that, yes, Breece Hall is coming off this ACL, but that he looks good. I saw him at training camp to the side. And look, this is nothing still. They're in shorts. We know this, right? Mm-hmm. The real hitting, the test, that game speed doesn't come to fruition until late training camp. We get this. But I don't think this should be something where you're going, you know what, Joe Douglas, you disappointed me.
No.
I think this roster is already filled with so much talent. And I apologize for being rude to you on Get Up today and calling you out as being a very gluttonous human being.
Right.
Because you're trying to stack this team up so much, Mike, that it's almost like you're doing this to protect your heart, as you do not want to be sitting here mid-November going, what happened?
No. Let me tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm being smart, and I'll tell you why. What the New York Jets have entered right now is a fairly dangerous space, which is to say, we got a two-year window.
Yeah.
We got Aaron. I believe we have Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. We have a legendary Hall of Fame quarterback who has shown he wants in every way. He didn't just say it. He has demonstrated it from the moment the trade took place. He's been everywhere. We have enjoyed watching it. You have 2 years to win this thing. Not yet 2 years. So I think you have to go as all in as you can. When you have Aaron Rodgers, you are all in. If it means you're going to be awful 3 years from now, the way the Rams look like they're going to be, then you might as well try and go all in. And you got to beat Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Baltimore, all these good teams. Mm-hmm. I think this is an arms race. The AFC is a murderer's row. I think you load up if you can.
Mm-hmm. And I understand why stacking that up would make sense. All your concerns are valid. It's just going to probably come down to whether or not the Jets are going to be able to financially work that out, what they're going to do with Aaron Rodgers' contract.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some talk earlier in the spring that perhaps he would redo the contract to be able to add more players to this team.
Right.
We'll see if that actually is something that happens by the start of the training camp. But I think the addition of a running back, let's look at what Aaron Rodgers did with the run game in Green Bay. You can make an argument here that Breece Hall was getting Rookie of the Year chatter before
he
got
great.
Hurt.
Great.
He's a better pass catcher out of the backfield than Aaron was in Green Bay.
Aaron Jones.
He's got a better running back here in New York, but obviously there's still going to be the question marks of health. Coming off an ACL is always difficult. And look, when you talk about going all in, and I see your point, it actually does remind me of the Rams a few years ago when they traded for Stafford and they signed Odell Beckham and they were able to bring in, add all these pieces. And look, they were very open about it, right? They went all in.
Right.
What was the term that they
used?
F them picks, right? And granted, they're not doing all that in New York. They're trying to be, I think, decently fair on the business side of it. But I still think you're in great shape as a Jets fan if you don't wind up landing a Dalvin Cook.
I'm in on Cook, and I'm still
I'm just
hoping
actually
that
trying
it
to
happens.
I'm trying to keep this a little optimistic for you headed into the summer, when I think you're gonna get insane. By the way, I think you need to figure out a way to keep yourself busy, because we got a lot of time between now and the start of training camp here, when the Jets are going to be out there. They're going to be one of the first few teams out there, because remember, they play in that Hall of Fame game, and so they'll have that opportunity to get out there earlier. I'm just going to throw my phone, because I really don't want to talk to you anymore.
I'm keeping Diana with me. We have much more to do here. A lot more football. We got another superstar who needs a team. We'll get to the bottom of that and more. Diana Rossini is in with us. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And
Boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance, it flexes to fit your business's needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. So we just talked about Dalvin Cook and the possibility that Dalvin Cook, that maybe he winds up on the New York Jets, which would be my first choice, and certainly other places he might go. The next free agent that is out there, and a huge one, is DeAndre Hopkins. People talk, I think people are greatly underestimating how good a player he is. DeAndre Hopkins has played with the exception of Deshaun Watson, the least impressive collection of quarterbacks of perhaps any top-level receiver ever. And he remained through that, I think, the best receiver in the entire sport. He's also not a player who relied on breakaway speed. So even if he loses a half a step at his age, I don't think it matters. I think he is a major difference maker. Now, yesterday, Russini, he took a video of himself driving down 7th Avenue that's Manhattan. For those who don't know, that's exactly how you get to the Holland Tunnel, which takes you directly into New Jersey, which is where the New York Jets training camp is. I also believe that feels like a fit. I think there is something about that that feels like a fit.
Yeah, I think it's the time of year where a lot of people travel to New York. Period. I think that's
why it's hot here. No, this wonderful. Is a terrible time to come to New York.
It's an absolutely wonderful time in New York. It's not even that hot, first of all. But there's so much to see. Look at Aaron Rodgers' life the last month, right?
That's
true. He has literally done every single thing somebody from out of town does.
Right.
And he's having fun doing it. So credit to him. He's engrossing himself into this beautiful, wonderful city. But look, I'm sure Hop was here hanging out and catching up with friends, from what I can tell. Speaking to people close to him, he's taking his time right now trying to weigh some of these options. He visited with the Tennessee Titans. I heard that went really well. He visited with the New England Patriots. I heard that also went very well. Lots of concerns about Bill O'Brien perhaps being the offensive coordinator in New England. We obviously know the history that they had in Houston wasn't fantastic, if you recall.
Yeah.
He obviously traded him away. But also, even before the trade, they had some brush-ups. And I spoke to people in New England, and they said, look, they are so beyond that at this point in their lives. And if DeAndre Hopkins can come to New England and make this team better, it's going to happen. So I was told that those initial offers have been put out there to Hop, and he's just reviewing them. And we'll see if perhaps a negotiation will begin with one of these teams. But for now, this is just where it stands at this point. So, look, he had a list of things that he wants. And we could talk all day. Yeah, he wants to be part of a winning team. He wants a great quarterback. But he also wants to be paid a lot of money. Okay? And when I say a lot of money, he wants that Odell Beckham Jr. type contract that we saw the Baltimore Ravens give. And the reason they gave that contract was, yes, Odell Beckham Jr. is very talented, but we know he's coming off an ACL injury. But also, they wanted to make Lamar happy. Yes, they wanted to give Lamar the
branch to Lamar Jackson. 100%
was. So it's made it a little difficult and dicey for teams to jump in on this, right? So earlier this morning, Booger McFarland's yelling on television, oh, the Buffalo Bills need him, the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not paying top dollar, that kind of price right now for a receiver. They're not willing to go that far. Now, look, if Hop's price goes down, DeAndre Hopkins' price changes, the Bills and Chiefs would absolutely consider it. But for right now, the money he's looking for, the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots are the teams that are in the running for it.
So, look, I don't know anything about anything, but I know this. If you told me at this moment in time I could either have DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham Jr., I'd rather have Hopkins.
Because he's not hurt.
Because he's not hurt.
Well, he's dealt with a couple injuries, yes, himself, but not as significant.
But he's not coming off a second ACL.
Yes.
And I'm not knocking Odell. I love him. I think he's a great player, and I'm glad that he got his money, and he and Lamar are happy with it, and that's terrific. But if that contract is going to become an outlier, then I'm much more willing to give it to DeAndre Hopkins than I would have been in the first place.
I know we started the segment earlier talking about how annoying social media can be, but one of my favorite things to swarm are workout videos. And if you see some of these Odell Beckham Jr. workout videos with the Ravens, I don't know if you caught some of them in shorts.
They're good, right?
They're unbelievable. He's still making these catches like he was making when he was 23.
Right.
And at 30, 31 years old.
But he won't lose the ability to catch the ball.
No, that's not.
Because he'll lose the explosiveness.
That's, of course, going to be the big question coming off ACL, which I feel like has been the theme today, right? Of, you know, who's coming off a major surgery like this and has success? I think it's a challenge. But for DeAndre Hopkins, I don't imagine a deal is going to be getting done this week. I do think he's going to take a little time. But, you know, you take a look at the Patriots, you take a look at the Tennessee Titans, and you got to figure those are two teams right now that have fabulous defenses, fantastic defenses. But they're a mess on offense. They're not ready to go. Not yet. Not if you're DeAndre Hopkins. It would not make sense if I'm him.
All right. Diana Russini, you are the best.
The money talks.
It is a pleasure to have you back here. We got to figure out what's going on with you. Why are you saying, oh?
Well, I don't want to leave.
Okay.
And,
well, then you can stay. I mean, do you want to stay and do the top of the next hour?
I would love to.
Okay. Then never mind. You remain the best, but you're not going anywhere. Diana's going to stay with us here. We got more. I got to get into some basketball. You want to talk a little basketball with me?
I would love to talk a little basketball. I'd like to share something that's weighing on me.
Okay. So coming up next, a little basketball and something that's weighing on Diana on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.